Well, since we are now facing the very real possibility of global nuclear war, and, you know, the nuclear codes are under the control of an insane person named Donald J. Trump, who has absolutely lost his mind, a lot of people are very interested in how to survive a nuclear war all of a sudden. I mean, rationally. How do you survive a nuclear war? Like, actually, not science fiction or Hollywood. What do you actually do if the nukes start going off in the Middle East? Does that instantly mean we all die? No, that's not what it means. How do you survive? Well, you know, what's the aftermath? So let me just walk through some of that for you here. So first of all, if the nuke doesn't hit you directly, if you're not within the blast radius and the thermal destruction zone, so that's step one, is realizing that you're not going to die instantly. If there's bombs that go off in the Middle East and you're in North America, you know, you're not going to die instantly, obviously. Then the question becomes the fallout. The fallout of the iodine-131 and the cesium-137 and the other radioisotopes of strontium and whatever else is produced. There's a lot of them. Some of them decay very rapidly within seconds or minutes. Others take much longer, but it depends on the wind patterns. So the predominant winds of the region, my understanding is that they tend to blow from north to south, maybe to the southwest. At least that's what I've read. I don't live there, so I'm not sure. But if they blow to the southwest, then if you nuke Iran, then all that radiation, or a lot of it's going to fall on the Gulf states. It's going to fall on UAE and Saudi Arabia, Oman and Qatar, etc. So nuking Iran would be a death sentence for the Gulf nations. More so than for Iran, because, you know, Iran is a very large country. And if nukes were used, they could not possibly blanket the entire country. And a lot of that radiation would just drift over the Persian Gulf and, you know, south into the Arabian Sea. And the Strait of Hormuz would be irradiated. You know, all those Arab nations would be irradiated. So the loss of life there and the rendering of those nations into uninhabitable zones, that would unleash a global energy collapse that would have far more dire consequences than the nukes themselves. So, for example, the loss, the semi-permanent loss of fertilizer production out of the region, which would affect potentially billions of people. So the very first takeaway from this podcast is that the nukes themselves won't kill nearly as many people as the after effects of the nukes. And even if you survive the nuclear weapons, which you would if you're living somewhere else, you would survive the detonations. You may not survive what happens next, which would be a global collapse of food and energy and governments and industry, etc. That's the big takeaway here. Unless this goes into, you know, dozens of nukes or hundreds of nukes, then in North America, you're not going to be dealing with crazy levels of fallout. I mean, yeah, there will be some amount of radiation that gets airborne, some amount of cesium-137, which has a half-life of about 30 years. And yeah, that's a factor, but it's not going to be enough to kill you outright from the radiation. And it's relatively easy to protect yourself against iodine-131, which has a half-life of about 1 week. To do that, all you have to do is, you know, take some iodine, saturate your thyroid. That will protect you, at least it will protect your thyroid from the iodine-131, although you can still get radiation, obviously, in other parts of your body from iodine-131, but it tends to concentrate in the thyroid. So you can protect your thyroid with supplementary potassium iodide, for example. And we actually sell that at our store. We sell the Iosat brand that is FDA approved for this very purpose. So you can find that at healthrangerstore.com if you want, or you can take other sources of iodine. that essentially have the same effect of protecting your thyroid. You know, just supplementary iodine. It's cause and effect. But that's not going to be the thing that kills the most people. The thing that kills people is going to be the collapse aftermath that follows. So I've already mentioned it. Food collapse, energy collapse, industrial collapse, the collapse of jobs, etc. When you lose the Middle East and you lose all of the byproducts of energy, including urea for fertilizer, including polymers and plastics and lubricants and sulfuric acid and helium, etc. When you lose all of those things on the world stage, then the world cannot sustain the current structure of civilization. It's a pipeline, you know? I mean, you have to have certain supply chains that function in order to keep the current civilization alive with 8+ billion people. If the supply chains crater, then you can't feed 8 billion people. You can't employ 8 billion people. You can't provide energy for 8 billion people. And so you're going to begin to see very rapidly, if this thing goes nuclear, you're going to see die-offs, you're going to see civil unrest, you're going to see uprisings and much more all over the world. All right, so I mean, that's a whole separate podcast, is surviving Mad Max, basically. You probably know the answers to most of this. Yeah, you got to have stored food. You need to be away from the cities. You need to have a means of self-defense. You need to have a means of growing your own food and medicine and being self-reliant, etc. Have your own off-grid monetary systems, gold and silver, you know, gold backs, maybe barter, things like that. You probably know all those answers already, so I'm not going to go into those details. Here's the bigger question. If nuclear weapons are used in the Middle East, will nuclear retaliation come to North America and Europe? Could London get nuked? And the answer is yes, absolutely. Could Washington, D.C. get nuked? Yes, clearly it would be targeted in a nuclear war. And as you know, Russia has more nuclear weapons than the United States. China has thousands of nuclear warheads. Pakistan has nukes. North Korea has nukes. India has nuclear weapons. And Turkey has possession of nukes that are actually U.S. nukes or NATO nukes, but they're physically located in Turkey. And there are probably other nukes that we don't know about. I mean, obviously, Israel has nukes. The thing is, if Israel goes insane and starts nuking Iran, there will be a response. There will be a response from Russia, for sure, probably China, maybe Pakistan. It's hard to say, but there will be a nuclear response. So maybe that's what Israel wants, because it's run by an apocalyptic death cult at this point. So if they nuke Iran, then Israel gets nuked. Obliterated with even just one nuke would wipe out Israel as we know it and send all those Satanists back to hell. Now, I'm talking about the ones that are the leaders of Israel, because they're all Satanists. What would then be the next effect after that? Well, depending on who launched that nuke, then the U.S. might get involved and have another retaliation in retaliation for Israel being nuked. So let's say if a nuclear weapon that detonates over Israel, let's say it was launched by a Russian submarine in the Arabian Sea, or maybe a Russian submarine in the Mediterranean, for that matter, or in the Atlantic. You know, all of these are possibilities. Would the United States then see that as an attack on its key ally, being Israel? And what would America's response be to that? That's a key question that could determine whether we live or die. If the U.S. decides that, well, we can't let Israel be nuked without a nuclear response, then the U.S. would have to decide, well, where do we attack in response to that? Because it may not be clear where the nuclear weapon even came from, actually. May not be clear at all. especially if it's launched from sea, you don't necessarily know who launched it. Now, yeah, you can do analysis of the ratios of radioisotopes, and you can try to take a guess, where did this weapon come from? But that doesn't tell you who launched it. Even if you know it's Russian nuclear fuel, it doesn't necessarily prove that Russia launched it. So you'd have to determine who to blame. So if the U.S. blames Russia, and if the U.S. decides to retaliate, then the question is, how would the U.S. retaliate? And the most likely answer would also be with Boomer submarines, that is, nuclear-capable submarines, because the U.S. has quite a few of those. And they're also closer to Russia than, of course, the continental United States. So there's less flight time and less reaction time from Russia. So then if the U.S. decides to launch nuclear weapons at Russia, then the question is, well, how many do you launch? And if the U.S. is going for a measured response, then perhaps for if one nuke were launched by Russia against Tel Aviv, then the U.S. might decide to launch one nuke against Russia in response. But the minute Russia sees one incoming nuclear or potentially nuclear ballistic missile coming in, then we get into a rapid escalation where Russia would very clearly decide that, well, World War III is on, the nuclear weapons are starting to fly, and we need to launch everything. And so they would launch everything. Under this scenario, I mean, I can't read their minds. I don't know exactly how they would respond. But they might launch everything, which would mean that every major U.S. city would be targeted and destroyed. Every major U.S. city and every military base on every island, you know, including Diego Garcia, etc. So that's how then easily 100 million Americans get vaporized within minutes. But seeing the incoming barrage of missiles from Russia, then U.S. Military forces would undoubtedly say, well, gosh, we're under nuclear attack. We need to launch everything at everybody, but especially Russia. And so the U.S. would initiate its launches of ballistic missiles to attack and try to destroy Russia. And it's possible, again, I don't know for sure, but the U.S. might also just start targeting China, too, because they figure China is an ally of Russia, and it's better to hit China's nuclear weapons silos first, preemptively, to prevent China from joining in the next wave of retaliation. So then you've got the U.S. launching whatever it is, you know, 400 missiles or something at Russia and China. And then China sees all those missiles incoming, and China's like, well, we better launch everything. So you see where this goes very quickly, right? So that's how the world ends. It can start with one nuclear weapon, and it can end up with over 1,000 nuclear detonations happening across the world, just destroying every U.S. city, destroying many cities in Russia and many cities in China as well. And at that point, then you get a nuclear winter. At that point, it doesn't matter if you live in South America or Africa or Papua New Guinea or the Philippines, wherever you live, even if you were not nuked, you're going to live through a Mad Max famine. Because at that point, you're going to have global cooling because of all the particulate matter in the atmosphere. Yes, there will be a lot of circulating radioisotopes that will become a danger everywhere. And on top of that, you're going to block out the sun, which will cause crop failures for at least 1 year, maybe a couple of years. And our world can't survive that, not at its current population. So the only way to survive that is to be able to grow food somehow without any fuel, grow off-grid, you know, self-reliant fashion, grow most of your own food, grow enough superfoods to protect yourself from the ionizing radiation that you'll be subjected to. And maybe you've stockpiled some superfoods that could be useful. Spirulina, for example, you know, miso, soup mix, you know, fermented soy. There are a number of supplements, there are a number of superfoods that can help support your body when you're suffering a lot of, you know, exposure, let's say. But nothing's a magic bullet. Nothing's going to stop the radiation, and you're going to be subjected to some level of ionizing radiation no matter where you are on the planet. But the worst effects will be the collapse of civilization as we know it. The collapse of energy, the collapse of fuel, the collapse of, you know, farming, etc. In that scenario, just in the United States of America, I would estimate that 95% of the population will die. Because how many people do you know who can survive the collapse of all those things I just mentioned? Of food, farming, fuel, transportation, etc. They can't survive. Very few people can survive. Only the most knowledgeable, the most rugged, the most determined individuals will be able to make it through that. And that's, you know, maybe 1 out of 20. Maybe. Probably a lot less. So the U.S. population in that scenario would be reduced to what? Probably less than 10 million or something like that. And the world would be irradiated and toxic for centuries. And also there'd be a mass die-off all across Western Europe and all across the Middle East and all across China and Russia as well. You know, human populations would be sharply reduced to maybe half a billion people or less. Interestingly, you'd have more survival in places like Africa and low-tech countries. You'd have a lot more survival in Central and South America than you would in North America or Europe. So the global South would actually fare better than, you know, the West in this case, generally speaking. Although there might be exceptions to that. So let's hope and pray that that doesn't happen, because there's no easy answer to how to survive it. Basically, even if you do survive, you're going to be living in a collapsed society that you won't recognize. And the life that you once knew will no longer exist. So your preparedness activities may not help you with that scenario. Just no matter how much you prepare, if the whole world is nuked with hundreds or a thousand nuclear weapons, there might not be that much that you can do. It depends on a lot of things. But that may not be the most likely outcome. There are a lot of other scenarios that are, I think, more likely, such as limited use of nuclear weapons. In those scenarios, you can absolutely survive it. And you need to be prepared. You need to have, you know, pre-nuke food. And we're selling pre-nuke food right now at healthrangerstore.com. It's food that was harvested, for the most part, in 2025. Some of it this year in 2026. But it's pre-nuke food, and whoever doesn't have pre-nuke food will have to eat, well, post-nuke food with fallout, you know, fallout food, basically. Fallout food will be very cheap. Discounts, coupons. Hey, you want some fallout food? Pre-fallout food will be incredibly scarce and valuable. An incredible barter item, especially if you can prove that it's not irradiated or emitting radiation. Because remember, if you grow food in a field where there's been cesium-137 fallout, the cesium-137 goes into the tissues of the crops. It mimics potassium in agriculture. And when that happens, then those crops, they emit radiation. And if you eat them, then you incorporate those molecules into your body, and then you emit radiation from the inside, which is what ultimately kills you by destroying your genetic integrity. So, pre-fallout food will have a premium. Poor people will eat post-fallout food and they will die very quickly. And sadly, that will be most people, because most people have not prepared at all for what's coming. So the bottom line is preparedness still makes a lot of sense here, but it won't save you from absolutely everything. It will save you from many scenarios, but not every single one. And that's to be expected. You know, if these demonic entities that are currently running the U.S., I'm talking about Trump and Netanyahu and Israel and so on, if they have their way, they will destroy the world and they will make it unsurvivable for human beings. And that's what they're trying to achieve. That's very clear. They're trying to do that. If they fail, then, you know, billions of us will survive this. So let's pray for that outcome. In the meantime, get prepared as best you can. You will need backup communications. Our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, offers those, of course, sat123.com. You'll need backup power. You will need, backup medicine, food, seeds, etc. And a lot of good fortune along the way, a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline, a lot of knowledge, etc. So stay informed and get ready for a true end of the world scenario, because that's what seems to be coming. You can follow more of my podcasts at brightvideos.com. You can read my articles at naturalnews.com, and you can download now 50,000 books that are all free to download at brightlearn.ai. That's the book website, the book generation site that I built, that over 10,000 authors have used. And we now have over 200 audiobooks available there. And I'll be packaging up those audiobooks so you can download all those together as well. Soon. That feature is coming soon. So take advantage of the resources that are available to you right now to get prepared, because the world is about to become a very, very dangerous place, and not everybody's going to survive by design. By design. They want billions of humans to not make it. Try not to be among those who die. Unless you want to die. I mean, maybe you don't want to survive in the world that's been destroyed. There's going to be a lot of that. But I'm just assuming that you still want to survive, even if everything's been destroyed. So if that's you, then, you know, get ready, because you're going to need it. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care. We now have vitamin D3 plus K2 plus Aquaman, which is a seaweed calcium, available at healthrangerstore.com. Here, I've got it up on my site here. This is the Groovy Bee brand that we have, which is our in-house brand, healthrangerstore.com. Again, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman. That's the brand of the seaweed calcium in a capsule format. Of course, it's laboratory tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and so much more. And it's a certified ingredients, of course. And, you know, everything that we build for you in terms of a product is meticulously sourced. And one of the most difficult products to source is actually vitamin D3. It's extremely difficult because it turns out in the supply chain, almost all vitamin D has a bunch of sort of unnamed ingredients in it. And that's what our sourcing people found after a couple of years of trying to source a clean version of vitamin D3 that we finally found and nailed and put it in the formula and did all the lab testing and certification. So now it's available. So this synergistic combination, if you think about natural bone support, for example, or you think about the fact that so many people may not have sufficient levels of vitamin D for just optimal health and immune support and, you know, many other reasons to have vitamin D levels, this product can help you supplement that. And so it's available now, healthrangerstore.com, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman, 60 capsules available, shipping right now while supplies last. And in this environment where global supply chains are getting wrecked, if this is something you want, get it now while we have supplies, because it's becoming more difficult and more expensive to source literally everything at this point. So anyway, thank you for your support. You can also find many other products, of course, hundreds of different products at healthrangerstore.com, including storable food. And right here we have our organic powdered chicken bone broth in a number 10 can, our turmeric root powder, and so much more. We've got so many amazing products for you to choose from, including tinctures, superfoods, storable foods, as well as
freeze-dried fruits and vegetables in sealed number 10 cans. That's great for long-term storage. Plus, we have iodine, and that's a product that's moving very quickly because of concerns about, you know, global nuclear war, unfortunately. But you can find all of this. It's all laboratory tested. It's all certified. It's all meticulously sourced at healthrangerstore.com. And yeah, there we go. That's what the vitamin D3 looks like there. Thank you for supporting us, because we need your support in order to fund our platform. And so we can keep bringing you amazing interviews and content and free AI tools for knowledge and so much more. So thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for healthrangerstore.com.